Welcome to the Single Wing on Phantom Island. My name is Stephen Godfrey. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. That's how you can ask questions on the Single Wing. If this is your first edition and you're in the preview right now, go to phantomisland.show to sign up to subscribe. You can listen to the whole thing. You can also submit questions, the same questions I'll be answering that you asked. I'm not asking any. I might ask a question. We want to thank our friends at Homefield as well. We're going to do the football up front and then everything else after. If this is your first time, you only want to listen to primarily college football when I say football, and then not interested in some of the stranger questions I receive from my listeners, that's fine. You'll know when to fade out. So I front load with football. That's a t-shirt or a mug, maybe? Front load with football. Sounds like a terrible workout advice or something. All right, we're going to jump right into it. First question, first person in the new subscriber format at phantomisland.show. First one that I picked was Major. Thank you, Major. Should Jay Batts' taking of the Michigan State AD job be seen as a slight to Georgia Tech? And who does Georgia Tech go after from here? Is Georgia Tech a desirable job? I feel like the administration has seen the importance of athletics and is focused on improving them, but I feel like him leaving is an insult, or him leaving feels like an insult. Sorry. Copy to paste. Let's start with the feeling that you have. And let me disabuse you of the feeling, which I think you're a Georgia Tech fan here. So let's start with that. Okay. Georgia Tech, currently the budget of Georgia Tech, of the Georgia Institute of Technology Athletic Department, is about $137 million. The budget thereabout is not that much bigger at Michigan State. And this used to be the way that athletic directors would try and create a valuation. It's not the only factor they use, but it was a decent rule of thumb. I don't know if this is going to make you feel better as a Tech fan, but we now live in the Power 2 world. So that's the first thing that I want to address here. It doesn't have anything to do with Georgia Tech. You probably also feel the way you do because Jay Batts signed an extension in December of 2024. That always sucks when your guy signs the extension. Things are going well across most of your sports. Football's doing well for the first time in a while. And then the guy, he bolts. Get that. Totally valid. But if you want to feel unemotional about this, let's just look at the sober reality of the math. Okay. Jay Batt just signed a contract at Michigan State for 6 years at $1.8 a year. From what I was able to pull, when he signed his extension at Georgia Tech, his extension was going to pay him next year $979,000. I think he graduated up, so I think he probably would have been north of a mil eventually. About $900,000 to about $1.8 a year. I'm no math wizard, my friend, but that's an inarguable jump. That's an inarguable increase in compensation for an athletic director, let alone the context of the situation, which, again, does not have anything to do with your beloved Georgia Institute of Technology. It's just the reality of the landscape. Yes, he gets to go into a Big Two environment where you're going to have more influence. Probably going to have a better access to the playoff, unfortunately. Okay, I don't think that's right and fair, but that seems to be where we're headed. All right. The reason why I think he took this job has nothing to do with Tech and everything to do with Michigan State in a bad way. So Michigan State is 180 over 163 when it comes to budget. What do those numbers mean? I'm talking about they're operating at a deficit. Okay. They brought in 163, they owe 180. I checked, and they've been at a deficit for four of the last 5 years. This has been covered pretty regularly up in the state of Michigan. They're at a deficit for a number of reasons, but also, if you just want to simplify for the sake of conversation, eating that Tucker situation, not great, Bob. They fired the previous athletic director primarily because of the financial concerns that were going on. Jay Batt, he's a numbers guy. That's what he's going to do. He's, I don't want to say he's an accountant. I don't think he's actually an accountant, but he's going to come in and focus on the finances. All right. He's going to be sober minded about that and start looking at finances first above every single thing else. And that's what Michigan State needs right now. Look, it's a little bit embarrassing these things happen, but it is a little bit embarrassing that a Big Two program has operated at a deficit as an entire department for four of the last 5 years. That's mismanagement. So if you're Jay Batt, not only did your salary just double and you got a six-year deal for that 1.8 a year, you also have a chance to right a ship in the manner in which you know exactly how to do, because when he came to Georgia Tech, as Major was intoned in his question, it wasn't quite the same setup as Michigan State. It was, I would say, more of a malaise and general apathy. And one of the things that Batt, I guess his legacy now at Georgia Tech, is starting off, they've got like a $500 million fund, and I think it's like Stronger Together, one of them kind of names, it doesn't really matter. But basically, he set off a major large-scale fundraising initiative to bring Georgia Tech athletics back into relevancy. That should still continue, by the way. And I think because he set it in motion, the great thing about the sort of resale or turning around and going back into market if you're Tech is that this guy showed it is possible. Whereas before he got there, and he was an assistant AD at Alabama who primarily focused on finance, you didn't know if it was possible or not. That's the good news if you're Georgia Tech. The reality here is that it has nothing to do with Tech. This is not something you should take personally. This man who's climbing up the ladder saw a rung that was higher, not because of a, you know, Michigan State can be better in football or because of anything Georgia Tech can or can't be in a major revenue sport. They paid him twice as much. That's it, and that's all. He is being paid twice as much by a program with Big Two classification, and he gets to do a refurb job, maybe a renovation job, I should say, considering I don't know how bad the rot is, and look better for it, and then catapult to an even bigger job. He's not going to stay at Michigan State forever. He could. In fact, I would predict that he doesn't jump quickly. I think he fixes the financial issues at Michigan State, and then helps push them towards contender status. But for him, he can make all the finances look right and good and strong, increase fundraising revenue, find something they can latch onto from a on-field, on-court performance, something he can wrap his arms around. I'm going to say something real fast about Jonathan Smith, who I think is a really good coach. He's not as higher, okay? There's nothing that Jonathan Smith did righter or wronger the day after Michigan State hired a new AD, but he's not as AD's higher, okay? I wonder if that does shorten the leash a little bit, and then Jay Batt gets to come in. Here's the other reason he took the job. He resets his clock. We talk about this all the time. He resets his clock, and if Smith is fair to Midland for the next two seasons, that wasn't his hire. And he's got bigger fish to fry and problems to solve because he's got to be able to balance the books and cut stuff and get the money right. If you're Smith, you can look at that a number of ways. I think a positive way to look at it is like, man, they're going to fire him right now. They're still paying out all these other guys. So that's good. I think this is good all the way around, certainly for Michigan State. But this really doesn't speak ill of Georgia Tech. There is a way, I think, for athletic directors to just leave and leave the place better than you found it. This happens in coaching sometime, not most of the time. But good administrators and people who understand fundraising and finance in major college athletics can turn over a balance sheet and an org chart that's much cleaner, smarter, and self-sustaining than your predecessor. That's a more frequent occurrence. So I don't really feel like this hurts Georgia Tech in any way. This doesn't affect what Brent Key is going to do. It doesn't really affect Brent Key, period. I think Brent Key has endeared himself to Georgia Tech fans in a way that they haven't really felt since early ages Paul. Certainly getting over the Jeff Collins thing. Almost beating Georgia. God, what an almost. Georgia Tech has a discernible identity in football for the first time in a good bit. Full stop. And Batt leaving doesn't change that, even though he was the man who I think technically pulls the trigger on, well, certainly extending Key, but getting him there in the first place. Kyle. Steven, I'm an incredibly apathetic Central Michigan fan who has given up any hope of enjoying college football like I did in my heyday with Dan Lefebvre, Antonio Brown, Joe Staley, and Eric Fisher leading our school to a mild amount of recognition. In this current era of college ball, I am just reserved to be on the sidelines the whole time. Am I just reserved to be on the sidelines the whole time? Even if Drinkall, he's talking about Matt Drinkall, the former Army assistant who just took over at head coach, even if Drinkall spins it up to Toledo levels, surely he will get poached for some P2 OC job or even a running backs coach job. He added, with what we pay. But I don't even need to read that because here's the deal. You can feel a certain level of sorry for yourself as a non-Power 2 fan, certainly in the group of five, and God knows I've talked a lot about the sad state of the MAC. I'm not gonna fight you on that. I'm not gonna tell you to hey, quit moping. Things aren't great. But there's a skosh of revisionist history afoot here. If Matt Drinkall spins it up, that probably means spins it up enough to parlay Central Michigan into the next job. Well, then that means that he's going somewhere with 10 wins with a conference title. I think you would welcome that right now. I don't see what the downside of that is. You're going to say to me, well, it's, you know, it's just going to be a revolving door. He's going to leave. Hey, guy, and I want to be clear here. Things aren't great for the MAC and things aren't great for these programs, but when the MAC was at its peak, it was because it was a revolving door. I might argue that you would want a revolving door. Some of the names that you mentioned on here, in terms of the on-field talent, they got to, oh my God, I just forgot the name of the town. I'm so sorry. Mount Pleasant, because of a revolving door of good, young, promising coaches, right? Brian Kelly on his way up. Butch Jones on his way up. This is what you were. This is the stuff that you just cited to me as like your halcyon, you know, your days of wine and roses. So you want that to happen. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I think if I walked around a CMU tailgate and said, you know, I'm pulling up recent coaching records, 10 wins one season and the guy's out in three total and you win the MAC, success, right? Success, guys. That's it. By the way, Brian Kelly was 19-16 at Central Michigan. Butch was 27-13. Dan Enos was 26-36. John, love this name, Bonamago, sub 500, 22-29. And then Jim McElwain was basically 500, 33-36. That's a lot of time that I just went through. It was 2004, about 20 years, basically. Okay. Shout out Mike DeBoard before that. I always forgot Mike DeBoard was a head coach. Much maligned coordinator, Mike DeBoard. We're really remembering some guys right now. But my point is, you want them to leave. I would be remiss, by the way, if I'm looking at Central Michigan coaching bios and not shouting out Roy Kramer, former SEC commissioner, created the conference championship game, was a coach at Central Michigan. Cradle of everything, this part of the country. So you want Drinkall to go, would you take a Butch Jones CMU run right now? 3 years, 27-13. Are we good there? That would probably make you feel good, right? By the way, Butch Jones, 8 wins, 8 wins, 11 wins. Didn't stay for the bowl. And I can't remember if he wins the conference. Yeah, he wins the conference in once or twice. I think he wins twice. Well, so, okay. Two MAC championships, 3 bowl games, 1 double-digit win season. You guys good? You take that right now in lovely Mount Pleasant, a name I definitely remembered? Yeah, you would. I know you would. And the effect here is not just the temporary winning season and then the guy's gone. It's that I think the MAC is cheering for Matt Drinkall and about four other guys to do this and get head coaching jobs at bigger schools, because that's what brings better coaches through the door the next time. I did several episodes on this specifically in this conference for Split Zone Duo, talking about how you need three and done. You need Dino Babers and Urban Meyer and Brian Kelly and Butch Jones and, you know, Nick Saban, whatever. Like, you need MAC coaches to come through and get big and important jobs other places and leave, so more young coaches go, oh, I should try to be a head coach in the MAC. What Candle's doing at Toledo is a byproduct of a system that's broken, not in favor of the MAC. Toledo has benefited from it, you could argue, but the MAC is not benefiting from keeping a guy like Candle at a failure to launch. Go Rockets. I just thought of that. So the drink all part of this is not something that I would worry too much about. You get 4 or 5 years. That probably means that it was off to a slow start. But the best MAC we all know of and want, and like when you're remembering some guys here, Joe Staley, Antonio Brown, like, you want that. You certainly want a Toledo season right now if you're Central Michigan in recent history, and then you want the revolving door of coaches. The bigger issue here is, and this isn't what you asked, but I think this is the source of your pain, is how is this possible with the roster churn of the portal at this level? And I don't have an answer. We've talked about this tons on the various podcasts and platforms I've been on. That's where you're solving for X, man. Coaching coming in, coaching leaving, that's been going on forever. You got to figure out a way to have 2 and 3 years with talent that ends up in the NFL instead of one good season with, we got a sophomore running back and a sophomore quarterback, and this is really promising, and our receiving corps is pretty deep, and then the next year they're all gone. That's what you have to solve for. I use CMU just as a talking point, and I don't know exactly when you're going to hear this in the timeline. It should have been in the second episode of my conversation with Bill Connolly. Because if Drinkall does something that's a little bit unique and sort of signature as an offensive scheme, as a style, maybe you can continue to recruit to that in a specific way. And CMU's a have, whereas something like Eastern Michigan is not. Eastern Michigan comes to mind as like a consistency of scheme, sort of that, we're going to be really physical and run-based. You know, Northern Illinois is a have, and their scheme up until this coming season was always consistent. So maybe that'll help provide some consistency. I don't know. We are grasping at straws on how to maintain a winning roster and a winning culture, but like also, you know, doing spring previews, Toledo has an NIL, man. Like, that's part of the reason Toledo is successful. So your apathy is hurting you twice over. If you were considering on, you know, chipping off some money, oh, I didn't mean it. That pun I didn't even mean. I'm sorry. Chipping off some money to get to an NIL. Because let me tell you something. If Drinkall comes in and goes to a bowl, like 6-7 win season or eight total with a bowl, man, he's going to be pounding the pavement trying to get CMU to build up an NIL fund. That's how it works. Hey there, it's Godfrey again. I hope you liked what you listened to. If you want to hear this show in its entirety, you want to hear me talk about more college football teams with Bill Connolly, go over to phantomisland.show. You can sign up for as little as $10 a month. You can also sign up for a year subscription for $100 for 12 months, and you can increase your tier if you want to ask questions, suggest show topics, become a producer, get involved. That's all fine and good. But if you just want to consume all the content we're making, and we got a bunch more stuff coming, you like Numbers and Words, you like The Single Wing, We're Not All Like This with Ryan Nanny, we got a bunch of stuff coming. PhantomIsland.show is how you hear all of it, and you support this fine, independent piece of sports, journalism, podcasting. Let's go with that. PhantomIsland.show. Thank you.